Yes. Thank you, Ash, for that. Yes. We've been wandering our way through Exodus. We've got to a point where we're going to be looking at what God, how God wants to be close to his people. This is the last of the stories from Exodus for now. Larry described how God built the first temple in 6 days, creating the entire universe as a place for him to have fellowship with the first man and woman. We've been hearing the Exodus story of how, of God calling out a people so he may have fellowship with them. Let my people go that they may worship me, was the message that Moses had to give to Pharaoh. Peter Hewson described it as a nation being born. Today we're going to hear two stories. One about the special tent called a tabernacle that they built so God could stay with them while they travelled to their new home. And one about the home that God made for his son in Mary's tummy. Let's see if we can make this work. Will you? Thanks. It's thanks to the birth of Mary's baby that we get presents at Christmas. Do you know what you'll get as a present this year? What present will you give to someone you love? My son knew that I liked jigsaw puzzles. So one year, he gave me a 3D jigsaw puzzle of the Empire State Building. It had lots of little plastic pieces that clipped together to build into a model of the big building in New York City. It only took me a week to build it. But way back when God told Moses to build a special tent, they didn't have plastic. They only had what they could carry with them when they left Egypt. They were all living in tents and looking after their animals they had brought with them. They did get lots of presents of gold and silver and many precious things from the Egyptians when they left, because the Egyptians wanted the awful plagues to stop. So they heaped lots of gifts on the Israelites so they would leave. Let me tell you something about what these people were like. These were descendants of Abraham. They knew all the stories. That story about God promising that Abraham's descendants would become a great nation. And the girls especially liked that one about Abraham sending his servant off to get a wife for his son Isaac and finding Rebekah at the well. Let's go back one. Yeah, there you are. And there was the one about Jacob fighting with the angel and then God changing his name to Israel. That's why they were called Israelites, because they descended from him. And they had all seen all the miracles that God did to get Pharaoh to let them go. Camping can be fun for a short time, but after 3 months, it gets a bit hard. And when it was time to shift camp, they had to pack up everything, all their tents and all their belongings, and carry them to the next campsite while looking after their families and flocks and herds. But now God wanted them to make a place for him, to actually stay with them. This was marvelous, fabulous even. God wanted them to be his special people. The ones who 3 months before were just slaves in Egypt were now to be God's special people. God is truly a God of mercy. How could they build a suitable place for God to live in? When Moses told the people what was needed, they willingly brought the gifts day by day until the workers had to say, "That's enough. We've got more than enough." What's happened here? Have I jumped one? Yeah, there they are bringing the gifts. God said to Moses, "Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." There it is. There was to be a fence all the way around with just one entrance. They called the entrance the gate or the door, but it was just a specially made beautifully coloured curtain across the entrance. To come into worship, they needed an offering, not of money, but an innocent animal to be sacrificed. The first thing you saw as you came in was the altar. To come near to God meant that your sins must be dealt with first. The Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." So this was God's way of covering over their sins until a once-for-all time solution was found. Once their sacrifice was made, people were free to pray and sing and worship, but they couldn't go further. Only the priests could go into the tent. Has your mum or dad ever told you, "Go and wash your hands before you eat"? I can still hear my mum's words. The next item in the courtyard before the meeting tent was a stand made of polished brass with water in it for washing. They had to wash hands and feet. God wants to be close to his people, but they need to be clean and know their sins were forgiven. As the priest went inside the meeting tent, he entered through another curtain. It was absolutely stunning. The walls inside were made of wood, but covered with gold. Everything in here was gold. This was where God was. The roof was actually four layers, but the one you could see inside was beautiful cloth with coloured patterns embroidered all over it. There on the right was a gold-covered wooden table with 12 loaves of bread on it, one to represent each of the 12 tribes. On the left was a solid gold oil lamp with 7 lamps. Only the purest olive oil was used to fuel the lamps. The priest lit the lamps each night and snuffed them out each morning when the wicks were trimmed. God wanted the Israelites to be a light to the nations. The golden altar of incense was right there in front of that final curtain. In the altar were glowing coals, and the priest would pour specially made incense on them. The aroma was heavenly, and that was appropriate, because the priest would pray there for all God's people, for forgiveness, for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham to make them a blessing to all nations and deliver them from their enemies. And the worshippers would pray outside in the courtyard during that time of prayer. The final curtain in front of the Holy of Holies was beautifully woven and decorated to show that this was where the high priest could come once each year, but only with the blood from his sacrifice. The ark was in there, in the Holy of Holies, a wooden box covered with gold containing the stone tablets with the commandments on them, and a gold jar with some of the manna in it. But the lid of the ark was not wood, it was solid gold, with figures of two angels called cherubim at each end with their wings stretched out. This was where God would meet with the high priest to give him God's commands. But when the high priest went in with the blood of his sacrifice, he would pour it out on the top of the ark in between the cherubim. Hands and feet clean, sins forgiven, he could talk with God. God wanted to be close to his people, but the sin problem would not be solved yet. Now we fly through the centuries, through countless stories of God showing love and mercy to his people, until a priest named Zechariah is chosen to take his turn to go into not the tabernacle, but the temple, to burn incense and to pray for his nation, asking God to fulfill his promise to Abraham and free them from their enemies, especially the Romans. And maybe he prayed a prayer for his dear wife Elizabeth, because they had no children and she was so sad. That was when it happened. Now, most people know that when a baby is coming, there are lots of things that have to be done. The room for the baby, maybe it needs a fresh coat of paint. Getting some clothes and nappies ready. Oh, and what will we call it? What if it's a boy? And what girl's name do we like? Well, for Mary's baby, God had preparations to make, and not just one family. Now back to Zechariah. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. God wants to be close to his people, and the time will be soon. Elizabeth became pregnant, and you couldn't stop her from smiling. That was one job done. Then nearly 6 months later in Nazareth, God sent Gabriel to Mary, engaged but not yet married to Joseph. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." What did Mary reply? "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Another job done. What was Mary to do now? She visits Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Here are two remarkable ladies. They have both understood that they are part of God fulfilling his promises to Abraham. A saviour is to be born who will put things right. Let's listen to what Mary said. Thank you, Beck.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. But he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you, Beck. And now there is another, the matter of Joseph. How will he take this news? Would he call off the marriage, divorce her quietly? God sends an angel to appear in a dream to Joseph. Let's go on. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Another job done. Mary understands God wants to be close to his people, and he is going to achieve this through her. Then the happy news. Elizabeth's baby is born. And what to name the baby? Zechariah is a good common family name. Name him after his dad. But Zechariah, who can't yet speak, is wiser now. He writes, "His name is John." And then he can speak again. But the prophet Micah says, "It is Bethlehem where God's ruler will come from. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." I think you all know the story from here. Caesar Augustus decrees a census, so Mary and Joseph have to go to Joseph's family town. And while they are there, Jesus is born in a stable where there was no gold, no specially built place. Even humble shepherds could walk right in. No door. Jesus is the door, the way. No altar. It is not needed now. No washstand, because if we confess our sins, God will forgive us our sins and purify us from all uncleanness. There's no holy place. Our lives are what others see. No showbread. We share the bread and the wine whenever we meet, and wherever, whenever and wherever we meet. No lampstand. Jesus is the light of the world, and we have his light. There's no altar of incense. We may talk to God anytime, anywhere. There's no Holy of Holies. The veil in the temple tore when Jesus died. There's no ark. It kept the sacred things safe. Now we are the sacred things. No one can snatch us from God's hand. There's no tablets with God's laws. God's laws are written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There's no jar of manna. Jesus is the bread of life. There's just God in human form, lying in a manger. Emmanuel, God is with us, and his promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate us from God's love, not life or death, nor not angels or spirits, not the present or the future, and not powers above or powers below. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.